Sorry, but I got some medications that make my mouth really dry. All right, DigiPeters and iGates. DigiPeters do basically the same thing a voice repeater does, extends your radio range, your coverage area. Since digital voice has become a thing, P25, DMR, C4FM, D-Star, all these things, what's a digital repeater has kind of gotten a little muddied, but for our purposes, it's basically a specialized APRS node that's in a really good location that hears a position packet and retransmits it again from a better location with higher power. The one in our neighborhood is at the Gloucester County EOC. On APRS, you'll see the designator CLAYTN, Clayton. That's where it's located at. More on the naming and aliases in a minute, but that's our primary local DigiPeter. iGates are another special station, and they're what moves data between the APRS internet system and the APRS RF system. If you don't have an iGate in an area you're operating in, you're not going to have a lot of the fancy features. You're not going to be able to send a message to WXBot because essentially there's not going to be anything to hear. The same thing, your worldwide messaging doesn't work if there's no iGate in the region. So again, but this is a volunteer thing. When you get to the point where you're really starting to value what APRS does for you, it becomes a pretty easy lift to put up a station at home and say, hey, I'm gonna put up an iGate here so I can help. And even if, I've got an iGate and Jay is 2 miles from my house and he runs an iGate, it's not a problem. You can't have too many, because the iGate will route traffic from whatever it hears. The system will kind of tolerate the extra packets. It's not a big deal. But if my power goes out and Jay's is on, all of a sudden his iGate's carrying the load in the area. So redundancy, especially APRS rewards redundancy.
Quote you there, John. Is there a concern we really only have the one iGate in the area? And it's at the EOC that we got kicked out of a couple years ago?
No. That is not an iGate. That is a DigiPeter. Now, you can have a DigiPeter that is an iGate. You can have standalone iGates. You can have standalone DigiPeter.
Okay, so Clayton's just a Digi.
A Digi.
But still, they kicked ham radio out of there years ago. Is there a, what if we lose that? I mean, that's the only good. I see light packets go through that all the time.
And when it goes away, the system doesn't care. It'll find the next DigiPeter available. So with nothing stopping us from setting up one here or setting up one. Well, there's a packet node at Glassboro, but it's another discussion.
We had one here that was both a DigiPeter and an iGate, and the weather came in and then we took it down when we were working in the other room and we haven't put it back together yet. That's all the same project that I was talking about earlier.
Okay. Let me insert my iGate rant here. If you're going through the effort, a lot of people put up what I call vanity iGates in that they just receive. They receive packets and they put them on the internet. Okay, that's somewhat useful, but a one-way iGate, really, it's more for the person to put the iGate up. It doesn't do anything for the community at large. It does not enable any of the fancy APRS RF to IS integrations, because for that, you need an iGate that talks. With several of the APRS clients, setting up a one-way iGate basically is literally a one-button press. So it doesn't take anything to set up. But again, it's kind of a vanity project at that point. You're not really helping out the rest of the community. So for a little bit more effort, you can take that iGate and make it a two-way iGate. In other words, it will transmit it as well as receive. This is what my iGate is at home. It's two-way. So When an APRS, I'm picking on Jay because Jay literally, I could throw a rock and hit his house from my house. So if Jay is, you know, if somebody sends a message to Jay, if my eye gate's up, no problem. My eye gate sniffs, sees that message for Jay. It knows, it hears Jay and its RF footprint. So it knows, hey, send this packet out to Jay. So if my eye gate's down for whatever reason, if there's no other eye gate in the area, Jay doesn't get his message. So again, this APRS is for somebody with anarchist tendencies. I really love APRS because there's no boss. It's a cooperative effort. So it rewards community and it punishes selfishness. So APRS is one of those things where the more people that decide that what they're doing is, you know, they want to help the community out, the better it gets for everybody. So end of rant. All right. Like I said, none of the fancy stuff works without an eye gate. All right. Beacons. This is how the information gets out. This is our position, our message, you know, all this stuff. It starts at the beacon. Now, in this is a little bit of text I captured off APRSIS, you know, grep K2ZA-9, and then I had a whole bunch of stuff. The part that's highlighted in yellow, that's the position information. And you're thinking to yourself, how do you do that? So back in the early days, when we were still running hardware TNCs and big GPS hockey pucks, the APRS, there was a frame designated for position, and it would literally send the latitude and longitude, the speed, and the what's called velocity vector, which way are you going at what speed? That used to be all plain text, and it could take two, depending on what you were sending, it could take 2 to 3 frames to send your position information. Well, there was I can't remember who the smart person is at the moment, but there was a device created in the early 90s called a Mike-E, or a Mikey. What the Mikey did was take your GPS, all that GPS information, and it would do a lot of bit smashing, and it would condense all that information into one byte of data. And that's it right there. So, made big differences in how well people pick up your position information. Because now, anytime you have to send more than one packet to convey information, you increase the chance of packet loss affecting how well that information gets through. So, by good.
Yeah, it's that same process, but like the tiny URL, they condense this down to longer URL.
It's similar in purpose, but the underlying math is completely different. So that yellow part basically is all that position information, and it's basically put into an array of bits. So all those characters, if you know anything about computer characters and ASCII, it's a bit pattern. So basically we're overlaying on that information and we're creating a bit pattern, and those are the characters that match that bit pattern. Now, what you give up in human readability, because the old system, I could sit there and look at a raw packet and I could tell you, hey, this is where this guy is. You lose human readability, but what you make up for that, you gain in reliability of getting the position out.
Is there any kind of error detection or correction in that mashing scheme?
In the packet itself, there is.
In the packet itself, there is, but there's nothing because
in the condensing.
Yeah, there's error checking for that. That's built into the APRS protocol. If you care to look, you just do a search in the APRS protocol document for Mikey, and it'll
that's just a translation, though. It's just a calculation. There shouldn't be any error induced.
Right. You know, if you've received the packet correctly, you know, if you've received the packet, That information is going to be correct.
It's just math.
So the position beacons, you can add additional information. All right, in this case, the part in yellow, right there, that's what I'm listening to. I'm listening to 147.180 megahertz with a tone of 131. C stands for CTCSS, which is the generic name for tone, for PL tone. So there's the frequency I'm listening to. There's the PL tone. There's the split. So plus 600 kilohertz. The AUXCOM bit, that's just paste advertise, and I do a lot with the Cooper MCC. I'm part of the AUXCOM group there. And then where it says WLNK-1, that's that magic token I told you about. That goes out because all the packets go into the internet stream. When WinLink has a message for me and it sees that WLNK on my call sign, or on my position, it says, ooh, hey, I can let him know. He's got four pieces of traffic. And it'll send me back an APRS message saying, you have four messages on WinLink.
You got me confused, John. Are you beaconing packet on the frequency of our voice repeater?
No.
Okay.
That's the frequency I'm listening to. This works mostly with dual band radios. Kenwood, Yaesu, all those. So that enables a QSY function that the Kenwood and the Yaesus have. So if you're looking in the station list and you highlight my call sign in your station list, you have a compatible radio, you'll have a button that lights up that says QSY. You touch that, it programs your radio on the fly. Think a really, really slow primitive trunking system. And that's what it does. So you see me pop up and I'm advertising, I'm listening here. You push the QSY button on your radio, boom. Now you're talking, if you're in range of the repeater, you know, all those usual caveats. But you can one button be on the same frequency I'm using. So
I think I've seen it. What kind of radios have that? I don't think I've seen that button.
Kenwoods and Yaesus. It's a software button. And when
you gotta program it, okay.
Well, no, you don't have to program it. The person what's incumbent on you. Now, Yaesu makes this super easy because when you build, there's a little menu to build your position packet, and you can tell it to transmit this information as part of your beacon. So it builds, it does that little construct for you. Kenwood's, you have to know how to build that string, but it's not particularly hard. But as long as I'm transmitting this information, your radio understands the QSY function, then you'll get it as a soft key that you can select.
Yeah, when you do that, does that take you off the APRS frequency?
Depends on the radio. Most of it does not, because this is really almost everybody's big dual band mobiles separate out APRS and voice on two different VFOs. So that's typically you'll stay on the APRS side of your radio will stay there, but the voice channel will change. And it didn't make it to any of my slides, but at the end I'll talk about voice alert, which is the next best thing to this. Okay, so as I said, this was, you know, enables the QSY function and lets me check for any WinLink messages I might have. Okay, this is not to be confused, this text here, with the status tech that's part of the position. So basically you get a couple of different messaging methods that you can use within the same position packet. I tend not to use the status texts unless I'm doing something AUXCOM related, because I know people are looking for it. But in my normal day-to-day APRS operation, I just use this method here.